Isn't this nice? I'm happy to be finally in here. It's taken a few months, but let me ask everyone, do the pews feel comfortable? Are they comfy? They have this memory foam in them, you know. We didn't just go for normal foam. And you know, we didn't just take the first thing. We tested various ones out. And we made sure that the foam, it was the best of all the options that were given. So I'm very happy with that. Now, I'm not saying in that I'm going to go on for a long time this morning. I'm not going to do that. We're going to be pointed. But it's just nice to know that everyone's comfortable. Praise God. So let's pray together before we open up the word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, once again for all that you're doing in and through our lives. Lord, we thank you for the children. We thank you for the classes that they're going to. Father, we ask that your hand of protection will be with them and the teachers, that your hand of guidance will be with them, and that, Father, Lord, they would know the truth about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Savior, for us, we come before you now then, asking that, Father, we would be attentive, that you would allow us, Father, as we yield to you this morning, to be alert more than our natural ability affords, that we would be able to take on board what the scriptures teach us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to move this down here for this one because I prefer to be lower down. I think I can see people's eyes then. Like seeing people's eyes. And yes. Well, I don't know the street where you all live, but we all live somewhere. We all live on a street somewhere. And in the street where we live, we've got neighbors, probably for most of us. And you know the neighbors, you chat to the neighbors perhaps occasionally. You've got some interesting neighbors. We've certainly got some interesting neighbors. And we see them coming and going. We see the cars that they drive, you know. And they sort of are similar to us, really, aren't they? If you think about it, you know, they'll shop in the same shops, possibly. The Tesco's, the Asda, wherever it is, you know. And get the clothes from similar shops, I expect. And there's a commonality between us. Some people may prefer certain types of things over others, you know. Some people may have drive small cars, some people big cars, you know. But in general terms, there's a tremendous commonality with people. We can identify so easily with one another. But you know, if you know the name of Jesus Christ, you are a radically different person than anyone else on your street. You may look similar. You may shop in similar shops. All of those things and all of that commonality may be there, but you are radically different because the Bible says we have been metamorphosized. We have been transformed from one species of being into a different species of being. The Bible says that we are now a supernatural being. Completely and totally different. And there is a danger, my friends. Because we get used to living the way that we live. We get used to being dealt with in the natural and, you know, just the same. And, oh, well, you believe in Jesus. Okay, well, I believe in this and you know, and whatever. And it's all just as good, isn't it? It's all just as good. That's the terrible danger of the times, especially that we live in. They call it, in technical terms, relativism. But my friends, the first thing I want to say this morning is this. We must hold to the truth that the gospel is the most radically different truth that has ever been given to mankind. If ever you're going to be passionate about something, be passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The thing that has caused you to be metamorphosized into a different species of being. You're not just an average person. You're not normal. Not even close to being normal if we believe what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach that we have been metamorphosized, a new species of being, and we are therefore totally different to the people of the world. There's only two groups, essentially, that's mentioned in the scripture. And we belong to the group that Jesus Christ has called, has saved and has commissioned to go and tell everyone else this great gospel news. But you see, the danger of being too familiar with the Christian message, and even at times too familiar with one another, is that it becomes normalized. So in other words, the stark contrast that there is between our lives and the lives of everyone else, it's not so evident. And we just feel as if, well, you know, we're just the same and we just sort of, we're going to, you know, and there's no, and you know, who knows, we'll find out in the end sort of attitude creeps in if we're not careful. But my friends, we have to guard against that type of an attitude. We have to be so clear in our thinking that what we've got is so precious. It was so costly. It cost Jesus the scars and the beating that put him on the cross. It cost God his son's sacrifice on that cross. And that sacrifice is so precious and so powerful. We not ever should take it lightly. Don't ever take your position in Christ for granted. We have to hold to the passion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, it's not just the world that tries to dumb things down. It's also other so-called churches. Because very clearly, the mainline establishment in the UK, there is a real issue within churches. We have so-called Christian leaders who aren't sure about things such as the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, my Bible tells me that if there's no physical resurrection, then it's all a lie. And it's not a lie, it's the truth. But these people think that they know better than the scriptures. And they go the trends of society. They go with the tide of society. The tide of society is moving this way. And rather than standing and having courage, rather than standing for the truth and saying, I don't care what you think of me that I'm a fool, but I'm going to stick close to Jesus who died for me and who was ridiculed on the cross. Rather than sticking close to him, what happens? They prefer to go with the tide. And everyone look at them and say, well, you're just good old boys. You're just the same as us, aren't you? You just got your little beliefs. Yeah, we're all going on this tide together. Never for the true Christian. Never for the true Christian. The true Christian is going against the culture of society. We are at odds with that culture. We're at odds with that system. And we ought never to be afraid of being at odds. We must stand for the gospel. We must stand. Our forefathers, foremothers sung a song. You won't hear it sung in churches these days. The whole congregations, pretty much, mostly then, I should say, too embarrassed to sing, stand up for Jesus. The soldiers of the cross, beware his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Well, they're not going to sing anything like that. No, they're going to go the way of the world and have everyone say they're nice people. We're not called to be nice. We're called to be Christian, to be the anointed followers of Jesus Christ. Nice has got nothing to do with it. He hasn't called us to be nice. He's called us to be faithful. Faithful to him as our Lord and Savior, the Jesus who was crucified. Am I making sense so far this morning, friends? There's two things I wanted us to consider briefly this morning. And hopefully this evening then we will look into, whoever's here this evening, we're going to look into this in more detail. But this morning, two vital things that concern this Christianity that we're part of, this believers in Jesus Christ set that we belong to. Two vital things. And the first thing that I want us to remember this morning, and I want us to remember what we're saying this morning, these things that will be familiar to us. The first thing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That integral part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem. I'm sure we're all familiar with that. But to wait for what the Father had promised in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus tells those disciples that they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he further promises in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Notice, my witnesses, he says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential for us to live the Christian life as God has called us to live. You say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian. Yes. You're a Christian. Yes, you are. And when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit certainly entered into you. Oh, absolutely. And we have received an anointing. John tells us we have received an anointing. That's every Christian. That anointing is on the inside of us. If I give you this illustration, it's like, for example, if I were to drink this water, water is an emblem of the Holy Spirit, as it's used in the scripture. If I drink the water is inside of me. So I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. But then, if I go to the ocean, as we did when there was a baptism in the ocean here, and we went to the beach, I think it was in Formby. And some of us got into the water on that cold day. But what happened was there was water all around us. So yes, you could have water on the inside, the Holy Spirit's on the inside, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit is all around us. The anointing upon, there's an anointing within when we become Christians. The anointing upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look further on here. Come with me to the book of Acts chapter 8. Very interesting to note that there can be Christians who are followers of Jesus Christ who have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, my friends, I'm not speaking of myself this morning. I'm not speaking theories. I'm speaking from a book. It's an authoritative book. What's it called? The Bible. This is the authority that we base our lives on. This isn't just any little suggestion list. This is the Word of God. We must approach it as such with the reverence and respect that it demands, all wise people. It says this in Acts 8 from verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Notice the people in Samaria had received the word of God. They had received the word of God, hadn't they? Hello? Yes. They'd received the word of God. They received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized believers. They were baptized believers in Jesus, yet they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see how clear this is. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. There are other references to the baptism of the Holy Spirit we could look at. Let's just look at them briefly. Let's go a couple of chapters on. Let's go to Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And I must say, I do like this. You know, the Christian church really starts off as a Jewish church. And this is quite interesting. I can just picture this. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. We've had a tongue this morning in this service. There are various types of tongues. And there was an interpretation of that tongue this morning. You may say, well, I'm not used to that. I don't quite understand. It's okay. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. It's within the parameters of the scope that God has given us. Absolutely, thoroughly orthodox and biblical. Because clearly the New Testament is from where we have our doctrine, our understanding of the church. And there are tongues, aren't there, that need to be interpreted. There are tongues that we pray on our own. And when we pray those tongues on our own, I wonder, who can tell me, what does that do if we pray in tongues on our own? Sorry? Say it loud. Praise is God. Yeah, well, what is it? I'm looking. It builds us up. It builds us up in our most holy faith. So if we pray in tongues on our own, you say, well, I don't know what that is. I mean, I don't quite understand that. Maybe it doesn't make sense to me. Well, of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't make sense. We're talking about the supernatural, not the natural. The natural realm won't make sense in the supernatural. But it's a supernatural thing, this. And what happens is, in a supernatural way, it builds us up in our most holy faith. The tremendous blessing of speaking in tongues. I'm so happy that the Alpha course that was started at Holy Trinity Brompton, the Anglican church in London, in which I attended the Alpha course at that church. I'm so happy that they have as really the climax of that course what they call the Holy Spirit Weekend. And in the Holy Spirit Weekend, you know, people go away and then they hear about these verses, they look into these verses, and we find many people then speaking in tongues and understanding what the Bible says about this beautiful prayer language of tongues. But what I'm getting across this morning, what my aim is in highlighting this morning, is this: for us to appreciate and live with the appreciation of our tremendous position in Jesus Christ now as ambassadors of God, as those who are living with God and Jesus Christ. For us to appreciate that, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. Our flesh just can't do that. We've got to have the higher reality, the help of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what's needed. So understanding this and refreshing ourselves of these truths is very important. And then look, just briefly, we can look at Acts 11. Turn to Acts 11. And it says from verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Jesus' promise is that we would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as his disciples. Amen. Well, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Two simple steps. First, once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we do what the Bible suggests and we ask. Luke 11:9 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you." Ask. The Heavenly Father gives good gifts to his children. And one of those, it's stated, is the Holy Spirit. This is the plan of God. Jesus said very clearly, "I won't leave you as orphans. I will send a helper, an advocate." An advocate is a legal term, isn't it? as you go through life, isn't it tremendous to think the Holy Spirit is our advocate, leading us, helping us on our behalf, working on our behalf as we go through life? Glory to God. Hasn't he been so good to us? Amen. Don't you just want to thank him? I mean, I just want to thank and praise him. He's a good God. He's done so much for us. And he just calls us to be obedient and faithful to his word. I'm not used to it. Who cares? It's okay, you've been wrong up to now. We can be right from now on. Glory to God. But I don't like it. I'm not that sort of personality. You know, different personality. Nothing to do with personality. Nothing to do with any personality apart from the personality of the Holy Spirit. This is not about personality. This is not about personal preference. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And second thing to do is to believe the fact that you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit from God. Paul in Galatians writes, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Of course, it was by hearing with faith, wasn't it? So follow me then as we go to the next thing that I wanted to mention this morning. So we've talked about the greatest truth ever given to mankind, the gospel of Jesus. We've talked about Jesus' provision when he went to the Father. He left the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, to be our help, to be the one who steers us through life. We've talked about those two great things. And now we're going to talk about something that Jesus told us we must do if we're his followers. We must walk in love. We must walk in love. And I don't know about you. I'm not so good at it naturally. I'm just not. But supernaturally, helped by the Holy Spirit, we can walk in love. And we must walk in love. If we don't walk in love, let's be clear, we're not walking with Jesus. Faith, you know, can be understood. We sang the beautiful song, Faith is the Victory. Let's just sing. It does us good, you know, sometimes in the middle of a sermon to have a little break. Everyone just stand up. Let's just sing that. Just a little couple of lines. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Let's sing it again. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Doesn't that feel good? Glory to God. Let's take our seats. I'm going to press on here. But it's just beautiful. You know, if ever you feel down in the day, if you feel down, and if you wake up and you get out of bed the wrong way, so to speak, you know, they say that sometimes, although literally it's happened to me. But if that happens, just sing. Train yourself to sing to the Lord. You may be lying down on the floor with your face pressed up against the... Sing to the Lord. And I tell you, joy comes. And when joy comes, there's strength that comes following on from that. But faith is the victory. Now, it says this about walking in love. Faith can be understood, look, as the force that receives the things that we need for an abundant life. The abundant life that Jesus spoke about in John 10:10. Faith can be understood as that force that causes that to happen. Everything Jesus purchased for us can be obtained by faith, and it needs to be obtained by faith. Faith is the thing that pleases God. It makes God happy when his followers exhibit faith in him. It pleases him. Now, let's listen to what Galatians 5 and verse 6 says. Galatians 5 and verse 6, it says this: For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. If I don't have love, faith doesn't work. I must have love. Next weekend at the OSL conference, as I've done in many conferences that I've spoken at, when they've invited me to speak on healing, really, I find myself being drawn towards speaking about love. Because the root of healing is love. God's love for us. And I think we become so entrenched in the way that we're treated in this world that we don't really take time very often to just sit back and contemplate how much he really does love us. Sometimes, you know, wives and husbands, the husband doesn't tell his wife enough that he loves her. She doesn't feel loved. I hope I'm a work in progress, me. And I love you very much, my darling. And you know, husbands have to tell their wife, I love you, my darling, I love you. And wives, you know, similarly. And parents to children. And I think that so often people live through life and they don't feel love. They don't relate very well to love. So when they hear about God who loves them, it doesn't quite sink in. They're not used to it. But I think we have to be determined to say, you know, I'm going to believe what the Bible teaches. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He loves us. He loved us when we were in the world. So faith is not working as it was designed to for some Christians because they have a lack of love. So they've got faith, but the faith is being hindered by their lack of love. Love is the vital component. Love is the most important attribute for Christians. As we reflect briefly on this morning, you know, there's four Greek words for love in the New Testament. And the problem is with the English, the word for love has been devalued. People say, oh, I love your shoes. I love your coat. I love your jacket. But that's not what the Bible means when it's talking about love. The strongest word in the Bible for love is the agape love, the Greek word agape. Agape love, that love that we have, that is a quality love. It's I'm going to love you regardless to how you are to me. And let me tell you, my friends, Jesus says that the world will know us because of our love for one another. How sad it is, how tragic it is that that doesn't often happen. How many churches do we know where the world says, yes, we know that they must be followers of Jesus because they love each other so much? The truth is, what Jesus says and Jesus speaks and teaches to us as our standard, as the norm for the Christian church, the enemy tries to do the opposite for. The enemy attacks and he'll try and do the opposite. So in churches, what do you get so often? You see the way she looked at me? Oh, you think you can talk to me like that, eh? Oh, well, if that's their attitude, I'm not you. Offense, niggles, problems, concerns. The pastor there, I don't like his accent. I think he's Welsh or something, I don't know. You see those flashy suits he wears? I don't like those suits. Why is he wearing a suit like that? I bought it on a sale. I don't like those suits. Why is he wearing that tie? Why didn't he wear red ties? Should be wearing red ties. It's just silly little things, you know? It can be, it sounds so silly, but it's all the little foxes, little things that get in the way, cause niggles, and then instead of us manifesting the love that Jesus said we should have for one another, what's happened is a tiny little fox got in the way and spoilt the vine that was meant to blossom. It was just a tiny little thing. It was a nothing. But because we were offended, it's turned into the spoiler of the harvest. Crazy. If you sat down and said, this is what's going to happen, you'd think it couldn't happen. Surely it couldn't happen. It's what happens all the time. But God is calling us this morning to be wise. He's saying to us, we're going to be wise. We're going to be Christians who are going to be more than conquerors through Christ. Through Christ. What does it mean to be through Christ? It means that I will yield my thinking, I will yield my mind, I'll yield my feelings to the Word of God, the Word of Christ. I will let His mind be in me and I will have a different attitude. And you know, I've said it before, you've heard it before, I'm sure. Attitude determines altitude with God. Attitude is so important. So here we are. You and I, my dear brothers and sisters, custodians of the greatest truth ever given to mankind, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing to touch the gospel, the potency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing on planet Earth touches it. It splits history into BC, AD. Jesus Christ came, he split history in half. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's who he is, that's who we follow. And by following him, we're saying, yes, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I will commit my life to be a life that walks in love. I am going to love. If you're rude to me, I'm going to love you. If you're wrong to me, I'm going to love you. I don't care how you are. How you behave is your business. How I behave is my business. I'm going to love you. Regardless. And when we walk like that, nothing can touch us. No harm can touch us. But I tell you what will flow through us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, I feel like shouting nice and loud this morning. It's the truth, and it sets us free. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, having said all of that, I'm wanting us to make a decision. Maybe you've heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but maybe you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And maybe this morning you'd say, I'd rather like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the scriptures. The scriptures are clear about it. If that's you, we're going to pray now. Maybe you're someone who just knows that on the inside you've got a lot of hurt with people. Oh, you're nice on the outside, you put on that nice smiley face, but inside you just wish they were more like you. Well, maybe this morning is the opportunity that God has put in place to let go of some of that and say, I forgive them all. And I'm going to walk in love, because Jesus commands that we must walk in love. We'll study this again more this evening for those who are here. But we've had an overview this morning. And I commit it to you as God's word for us today, in the hope that it will help us in the future. So I want us to pray. I want you to stand with me, please. If you can stand. Just closing our eyes, and as we respond to him, no one needs to be looking around, just closing our eyes, a moment before God, responding to God. First of all, if you haven't had love, as you know you ought to have, and forgiveness and peace with people, if you've been sort of twisted on the inside, God wants you to be free this morning. So I'm going to invite you now, first of all then, to join me in this prayer. And I would invite everyone to pray this prayer, so that if someone next door to you is particularly praying it, they won't feel embarrassed, because you'll be praying it with them. So I'll speak the words, and please repeat the words after me. Heavenly Father, I yield my life to you today, and I ask that you forgive me for my lack of forgiveness and love. I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose to love others. And I bring those people especially now to my mind. Take a few moments. We just think on those people that the Holy Spirit is bringing to our mind. Heavenly Father, I forgive them for every offense. I ask for your forgiveness for all my offenses. And I ask that through the Holy Spirit, I would walk in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just say a word before we pray the next prayer. A word on this. You may not feel like you forgive them. That's okay. Feelings will follow after. But if we pray for that forgiveness, it's an act of faith, because we know we ought to. And sometimes we make an act of faith because we know it's the right thing. Our feelings will follow afterwards. Let's pray now for anyone who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, Fill me anew. Fill me anew. Spirit of the Lord, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fill me anew. Fill me anew. Spirit of the Lord, fall afresh on me. Repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I know it's biblical. And I receive it by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me and for empowering me to live this Christian life and be all that you've called me to be. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anyone wants to speak with me afterwards, we close the service now. We'll have fellowship in the hall, but I'm going to remain at the front here and praying with anyone that wants prayer. Feel free.